I'm assuming you've nailed her. He frowns. It's not like that, Drew. I'm confused. Then what's it like, Matthew? You haven't hung out in over 2 weeks. I can understand you being too pussy-whipped to come out if you're getting some. But if not, what's the deal? He smiles in a nostalgic, remembering a happy moment kind of way. She's just different. It's hard to explain. We talk, you know? And I'm always kind of thinking about her. It's like the minute I drop her off, I can't wait to see her again. She just amazes me. I wish you knew what I meant. And the scary thing is, I know exactly what he means. You're in dangerous territory, man. You see what Stephen goes through. This path leads to the dark side. We've always said we wouldn't go there. You sure about this? Matthew smiles, and in his best Darth Vader voice tells me, You don't know the power of the dark side. It's dinner time. My mother makes a big show of bringing out the turkey, and everyone oohs and ahs before my father carves it up. That's right, Norman fucking Rockwell's got nothing on us. As bowls are passed and plates are filled, my mom says, Drew, honey, I'm going to pack you up a big bag of leftovers. I don't even want to think about how you're eating in that apartment with no one to cook a decent meal. And I'll put dates on the containers so you'll know when to throw it out. The last time I looked in your refrigerator, it was like some sort of science experiment was growing in there. Yes, my mommy loves me. Told you so. Thanks, Mom. Matthew and Stephen make loud, wet, kissy noises at me. With both hands, I flip each of them the bird. Beside me, I see Mackenzie looking at her fingers, trying to copy the move. I quickly put my hand over hers and shake my head. I show her Mr. Spock's Vulcan salute instead. After we say grace, I announce, I think Mackenzie should come live with me. No one reacts. No one looks up. No one pauses. I've made this suggestion several times since my niece was born. Alexandra says, The turkey's delicious, Mom. Very juicy. Thank you, dear. Hello, I'm serious here. She needs a positive female role model. That gets the bitch's attention. What the hell am I? Mackenzie slides the jar toward her mother, and in goes a dollar. We all bring small bills to the table on holidays now. You're a stay-at-home mom. Which is very commendable, don't get me wrong, but she should be exposed to career women, too. And for God's sake, don't let her watch Cinderella. What kind of example is that? A mindless twit who can't even remember where she left her damn shoe, so she has to wait for some douchebag in tights to bring it to her? Give me a friggin' break. I'm not sure how much I owe after that little speech. I pass Mackenzie a 10. Did I say that jar would put her through college? I meant law school. I'm going to need to hit an ATM soon. Stephen joins in. I think Alexandra is the perfect role model for our daughter. There's no one better. Stephen is a beaten man, and Matthew wants to join his club. Unreal. Alexandra smiles at him. Thank you, honey. You're welcome, dear. Matthew and I start coughing. Whipped, brown nose. Mackenzie looks at us suspiciously, unsure if we need to pay up or not. Alexandra scowls. I continue. I should bring her to the office with me. She should meet Kate, don't you think, Dad? My mother asks quickly, Who's Kate? My father answers between bites, Catherine Brooks, new employee, brilliant girl, and quite the firecracker. She gave Drew a run for his money when she first started. My mother looks at me with glittering, hopeful eyes. The way Paula Deen looks at a tub of lard, imagining the delicacy just waiting to be made. Well, this Kate sounds like a lovely young lady, Drew. Maybe you should have her over to the house for dinner. I roll my eyes. We work together, Mom. She's engaged. To a jackass, but that's another story. Another dollar bites the dust. My sister interjects. I think Mom's just surprised to actually hear you refer to a woman by name. Usually it's the waitress with the nice butt, or the blonde with the big boobs. Though her observation is accurate, I ignore it. The point is, she's a terrific example for Mackenzie of how much a woman can accomplish. despite her terrible taste in men. I think we'd all be really proud if she grew up to be half the professional Kate is. Alexandra looks surprised by my statement, and she smiles warmly. Mackenzie and I can take a trip into the city next week. We'll get together with you for lunch and meet the illustrious Kate Brooks. We eat in silence for a few minutes, and then Alexandra says, "That reminds me. Matthew, could you escort me to a charity dinner the second Saturday in December? Stephen is going to be out of town." She looks toward me. "I would ask my darling brother to do it, but we all know he spends his Saturday nights with the city She glances at her daughter. "Undesirables." Before Matthew can answer, Mackenzie puts her 2 cents in. "I don't think Uncle Matthew can come, Mama. He's been too busy being pussy-whipped." "What's pussy-whipped, Daddy?" As soon as the words leave her angelic little lips, a horrendous chain reaction is set off. Matthew chokes on the black olive in his mouth, which flies out and nails Stephen right in the eye. Stephen doubles over, holding his eye and yelling, "I'm hit! I'm hit!" and then goes on about how the salt from the olive juice is eating away at his cornea. My father starts coughing. George stands up and begins pounding on his back while asking no one in particular if he should perform the Heimlich. Estelle knocks over her glass of red wine, which quickly seeps into my mother's lace tablecloth. She makes no move to clean up the mess, but instead chants, "Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!" My mother runs around the dining room like a chicken with its head cut off, searching for non-cloth napkins to wipe up the stain, all the while assuring Estelle that everything's fine. And Frank, well, Frank just keeps eating. While the chaos continues around us, Alexandra's death ray glare never wavers from Matthew and me. After squirming under it for about 30 seconds, Matthew caves. "It wasn't me, Alexandra. I swear to Christ it wasn't me." "Chicken shit." "Thanks, Matthew. Way to leave my ass blowing in the wind. Remind me never to go to war with him as my wingman." But as the bitch's glower is turned full force on me alone, I forgive him. I feel like at any moment I'll be reduced to a smoking pile of Drew ash on the chair. I dig deep and give her the sweetest baby brother smile I can manage. "Take a look. Is it working? I'm so fucking dead. See, there's one thing about bitch justice you should know. It's swift and merciless. You won't know when it's coming. All you can be certain of is that it will come. And when it does, it will be painful. Very, very painful." Chapter 12. On Monday morning, I'm in the conference room waiting for the staff meeting to start. Everyone's here. Everyone, that is, except Kate. My father glances at his watch. He's got an early tee off this morning, and I know he's eager to get there. I scratch behind my ear. Where the hell is she? Finally, Kate comes barreling in with her coat still on and a bunch of folders falling out of her hands. She looks terrible. I mean, she's beautiful. She's always beautiful. But take it from someone who's watched her closely. Kate is having a bad day. See how pale she is? And when the hell did those dark circles crawl under her eyes? Her hair's thrown up in a messy bun, which would be sexy as hell if she didn't look so ill. She smiles nervously at my father. "Sorry, Mr. Evans. It's been a morning." "No problem, Kate. We're just getting started." As my father rattles off his announcements, I don't take my eyes off her. She doesn't look at me once. "Kate, do you have those projections for Pharmatab?" It's the deal my father was talking to the ass muncher about at the office party, the one Kate closed last week. She looks up, her big brown eyes making her look all the more like a deer caught in headlights. She doesn't have them. I lean forward and announce, "I have them. Kate gave them to me last week to look over, but I left it on my desk at home. I'll get it to you ASAP, Dad." My father nods, and she closes her eyes in relief. After the meeting is over, everyone slowly files out, and I walk up beside Kate. "Hey." She looks down at the folders she's carrying and adjusts the coat on her arm. Thank you for what you did in there, Drew. It was really decent of you. I know what I said the other day, that I was finished with her. I didn't mean it. I was talking out of my ass, blowing off some sexually frustrated steam. You know that. Think Kate knows? Think she gives a damn? I have to do the decent thing once in a while, just to keep you on your toes. I give her a small smile that she doesn't return. And she still hasn't fucking looked at me. What's wrong with her? My heart begins to hammer in my chest as I run through all the possibilities. Is she sick? Did something happen to her mother? Was she mugged on the frigging subway? Jesus. Kate walks into her office and closes the door, leaving me standing on the outside. This is where men get the shitty end of the stick, people. When God gave Eve that extra rib, he should have given us something extra too, like mental telepathy. I once heard my mother tell my father that she shouldn't have to explain why she was pissed. That if he didn't already know what he'd done wrong, then he wasn't really sorry for it. What the fuck does that even mean? Newsflash, ladies, we can't read your thoughts. And frankly, I'm not entirely sure I'd want to. The female mind is a scary place to be. Men, we don't leave a lot of room for doubt. You're a dick. You fucked my girlfriend. You killed my dog. I hate you. Direct, clear, unambiguous. You girls should try it sometime. It would bring us all one step closer to world peace. I back away from Kate's door. Looks like I won't be finding out what her deal is anytime soon. Later that day, I sit in a cafe across from Matthew, not eating my sandwich. So, Alexandra get to you yet? He's referring to the Thanksgiving Day massacre, in case you've forgotten. I nod. I got the call yesterday. Apparently I've committed myself to volunteer next month at the Geriatric Society of Manhattan. It could have been worse. Not really. Remember Stephen's Aunt Bernadette? Old women have a thing for me, and I don't mean a pinch my cheek, pat me on the head kind of thing. I mean a grab my ass, rub my junk, why don't you push my wheelchair into the broom closet so we can get nasty kind of thing. It's fucking disturbing. Matthew's now laughing his ass off. Thanks for the sympathy, man. The bell above the door to the cafe jingles. I look up and decide that maybe God doesn't hate me after all. Because Billy Dumbass Warren just walked in. His face, at any other time, would definitely put a dent in my good mood. But at this moment, he's just the donkey dick I need to see. I'll be nice. I approach him. Hey, man. He rolls his eyes. What? Listen, Billy, I was just wondering, is everything okay with Kate? He snarls. Kate isn't any of your fucking business. Let the record show, I'm trying. And he's being a prick. Why am I not surprised? I see what you're saying. But this morning, she really didn't look well. Do you know why? Kate is a big girl. She can take care of herself. She always does. What are you talking about? And then it hits me, like a bucket of ice-cold Gatorade after a football game. Did you do something to her? He doesn't answer. He looks down. That's all the answer I need. I grab him by the front of his shirt and pull him up quick. A second later, Matthew's there telling me to calm down. I shake the jerk off just a little. I asked you a question, motherfucker. Did you do something to Kate? He tells me to get my hands off him, and I shake him harder. Answer me. We broke up. We broke the fuck up, all right? He means he broke up with her. He pushes my hands off and shoves me. I let him. He straightens his shirt, glaring. But I just stand there, stunned. His finger stabs my chest. I'm out of here. You ever put your hands on me again, I'm laying you out, dickhead. And with that, he leaves. Matthew watches him go, then asks, Drew, what the hell was that about? 10 years, almost 11. She loved him. That's what she said. 10 frigging years. And he dumped her. Fuck. I have to go. But you didn't finish your sandwich. Food's important to Matthew. You have it. I have to get back to the office. I sprint out the door to, well, you know where I'm going. Her office door is still closed, but I don't knock. Quietly, I walk in. She's sitting at her desk, crying. Have you ever been kicked in the stomach by a horse? Me neither. But now I know what it feels like. She looks so small behind that desk, young and vulnerable and lost. My voice is soft and careful. Hey. Kate glances at me, surprised, and then she clears her throat and wipes her face, trying to pull it together. What do you need, Drew? I don't want to embarrass her, so I pretend not to notice the wetness that still clings to her cheekbones. I was looking for that file. Slowly, I step closer. Do you, have something in your eye? She plays along and wipes at her eyes again. Yeah, it's an eyelash or something. You want me to take a look? Those eyelashes can be dangerous if left untreated. For the first time today, her eyes meet mine. They're like two dark, shining pools. Okay. Kate stands up, and I guide her toward the window. I put my hands on her cheeks, gently holding her face. Her beautiful, tear-streaked face. I've never wanted to do physical damage to someone as badly as I do Billy Warren in this moment, and I'm pretty sure I can get Matthew to help me bury whatever's left of him in the backyard. I wipe her tears away with my thumbs. Got it. She smiles, even as more tears spring up. Thanks. I'm done pretending now. I pull her in against my chest. She lets me. I put my arms around her and smooth the back of her hair with my hand. Do you want me to talk to him? Was it because of me? I can't imagine the scumbag was very happy finding us in Kate's office like he did last week, with her looking freshly fucked and all. And no, I haven't gone insane. The last thing I want to do is help her get back with the asshole. But goddammit, she's killing me here. One tear at a time. She laughs into my chest. It sounds bitter. It was me. Kate looks up at me and smiles sadly. I'm not the same girl he fell in love with. It must have been hard for her to hear those words. It's the oldest guy trick in the book. The blame game. It's not me, honey. It's you. She shakes her head. He packed up all of his things and moved out Saturday. He said a quick, clean break would be better. He's staying with Dee Dee until he can find his own place. She looks toward the windows for a moment, then sighs, dejectedly. It's been coming for a while, I think. It really wasn't a shock. For so long, my focus was on school, and then work. Everything else came second. I stopped. I couldn't give him what he needed. It's just, Billy held my hand the day we buried my father. He taught me to drive a stick shift and convinced me I was good enough to sing in front of actual people. Billy helped me fill out my college application and open the acceptance letter for me because I was too nervous to look. When I was in the MBA program, he worked three jobs, so I didn't have to work at all. Billy was there the day I graduated, and he came with me when I wanted to move to New York. He's always been such a huge part of my life. I don't know who I'll be without him. Women. No offense, but she doesn't even realize what she just said. These are her accomplishments, challenges she's lived through. Shithead was just along for the ride, in the background, like wallpaper. You can change the color of the walls any time, and it might look different, but the room's still the same. I know who you'll be. Kate Brooks, investment banker extraordinaire. You're smart and funny, and you're stubborn and gorgeous and perfect. And you'll still be perfect without him. Our eyes hold for a minute, and then I enfold her in my arms until her tears subside. Her voice is muffled as she whispers, "Thank you, Drew." Anytime. It's not until late that night, as I crawl between the cool sheets of my bed, that the ramifications of today's events really hit me. I sleep naked, by the way. You should try it. If you haven't slept naked, you haven't lived. But that's beside the point. The fact that hasn't occurred to me until now is, Kate Brooks is single, free, available. The only real obstacle that stood between her and me and my office couch just shot himself in the foot. Holy shit. This is what Superman must have felt like when he turned back time and pulled Lois out of that car. It's a do-over, a second shot. Recommencing liftoff. I fold my hands behind my head and settle back into my pillows with the biggest, brightest, can't-wait-for-tomorrow smile you have ever seen. It's been 4 days since I found out dipshit broke up with Kate. That next day, she came into work looking like herself again. For all intents and purposes, she seemed completely over the moron. But Mackenzie caught a cold, so Alexandra had to reschedule our lunch for next week. With the weekend Kate had, it was probably for the best. Oh yeah, just one more little detail you should know. I haven't gotten laid in 12 days. 12 days. 288 sex-free hours. I can't calculate the minutes. It's too depressing. Remember, all work and no play makes Drew a cranky boy? Well, at this point, Drew is practically a goddamn psychopath, okay? 12 days may not seem like a long time for you amateurs out there, but for a guy like me, it's a friggin' record. I haven't had a drought like this since the winter of 02. That January, a massive blizzard blanketed the tri-state area with 28 inches of snow. Only official vehicles were allowed on the roads, so I was stuck in the penthouse with my parents. And I was 17. A year in a guy's life when a light breeze is capable of giving him a boner. I spent so much time in the bathroom, my mother thought I had a virus. Finally, after the 7th day, I couldn't take it anymore. I braved the elements and walked to Rebecca Whitehouse's condo uptown. We humped like bunnies in the janitor's closet of her parents' building. She was a nice girl. Anyway, once again, I've been reduced to jerking off in the shower. It's humiliating. I feel so dirty. Not that there's anything wrong with a good rub and tug in the morning to start the day off right. Particularly if, like me, you had to bypass last weekend's typical Saturday score night because of a family-related holiday obligation. But if that's the only action you're getting, well, that's just sad. The reason behind my recent extended sexual famine? I blame Kate. It's all her frigging fault. Apparently, I've grown a conscience. I don't know when it happened. I don't know how it happened. But I am not happy about it. If I could, I would squash that Jiminy Cricket fucker like the roach he is. Because you know how some people have gaydar? Well, I have dumpdar. That means I can pick out a recently dumped female a mile away. They're easy pickings. All you have to tell them is that their ex is an idiot for letting them go, and they'll be begging you to nail them. Kate now falls into the aforementioned dumped category. Should be a sure thing, right? Wrong. Here's where Jiminy rears his ugly little bug head. I can't bring myself to make a move. The idea makes me feel like a goddamn predator. It's hard to tell if she's still raw. She doesn't seem to be, but you never know. She could just be putting up a good front. And if she is, hurt and vulnerable, that's not how I want her. When it happens for Kate and me, I want her ripping at my clothes, and her own for that matter, because she can't wait a second longer to have me pounding into her. I want her moaning my name, scratching my back, and screaming because of the sheer magnificence of it. Damn it. There I go again. I've got a hard-on just thinking about it. What a mess. I can't fuck Kate, and I don't want to fuck anyone else. It's my own personal perfect storm. Told you I'd get what I deserve. Are you happy now? I turn off the lights in my office and walk over to Kate's. She doesn't see me right away, so I cross my arms and lean against the doorframe, just watching her. Her hair's down, and she's standing, bent over her desk, looking at her computer. And she's singing. No more drinks with the guys, no more hitting on girls. I'd give it all up, and it'd be worth it in the end. If you were my lady, I would comprehend how it feels to have something real. I would want to be a good man. She really does have a great voice. And the way she's bending over her desk like that. I just want to walk up behind her and... Christ. Never mind. I'm just torturing myself. Rihanna better watch her back. She looks up at the sound of my voice, and her face breaks into a wide, embarrassed grin. I request, don't stop on my account. I was enjoying the show. Very funny. Show's over. I crook my finger at her. Come on. I'm kicking you out. It's after 11 on a Friday night, and you haven't eaten yet. I know a place. My treat. They make a great turkey club. Kate turns off her screen and grabs her bag. Oh, they're my favorite. Yeah, I know. We grab a table in the bar area and order. The waitress brings our drinks, and Kate takes a sip of the margarita I ordered for her. Mmm, this is just what I wanted right now. I told you I was good at the drink thing, remember? We talk comfortably for a few minutes, and then, watch this. Kate's eyes go wide as saucers, and she dives under the table. I look around. What the hell? I duck my head and take a peek at her. What are you doing? She looks panicked. Billy's here, upstairs in the loft over the dance floor, and he's not alone. I start to lift my head when she yells, Don't look! Jesus Christ, this is ridiculous. So much for being over the dickwit. It's just, I can't let him see me like this. Now I'm confused. What are you talking about? You look great. She always looks great. No, not in these clothes. He said it wasn't attractive that I was so driven. It's one of the reasons he wanted to break up. He said I was too masculine. You have got to be fucking kidding me. I'm masculine. Hillary Clinton is masculine. Kate Brooks doesn't have a goddamn masculine cell in her body. She's all woman, believe me. But I know what the fucker was going for. Kate is intelligent, outspoken, ambitious. Lots of men, like the shit-eating asshole, for instance, can't handle a woman like that. So they twist it around, make those qualities seem unappealing, something to be ashamed of. Screw this. I grab Kate's hand and drag her out from under the table. She looks around quickly as I lead her to the dance floor.
What are you doing?
Giving you back your dignity. I bump into several people on the way, making a slight ripple, so I'm sure Douchebag will notice us. By the time I'm done, Billy Warren will be kissing your feet, your ass, and any other body part you tell him to get you back. She tries to pull out of my grasp.
No, Drew, that's not really...
I turn to face her and put my arms around her waist. Trust me, Kate. Her body's close to mine. Her face so near I can see the green speckles in her eyes. Why the fuck am I doing this again? I'm a guy. I know how we think. No guy wants to see a girl that used to be his with someone else. Just go with me on this. She doesn't answer. She just raises her arms around my neck, bringing us together. Chest to chest. Stomach to stomach. Thigh to thigh. It's agony. Exquisite, delicious agony. With a mind of its own, my thumb draws slow circles on her lower back. The music swirls around us, and I feel buzzed, not from the alcohol, but from the feel of her. I want to ignore the perfect way her body fits against mine. I try to remember my noble intentions. I should glance up to see if Dirtbag is watching us. I should, but I don't. I'm too caught up in the way she's looking at me. Maybe I'm deluding myself, but I swear it's desire I see swimming in those dark beauties. Naked, uninhibited want. I lean in and brush my nose against hers, testing the waters. I'm not doing this for me. Really. I'm not doing this because being this near to her is the closest to heaven that I'll ever get. This is for her. Part of the plan. To win back the scumbag who doesn't deserve her. I press my lips against hers, softly. It's tender at first, and then she melts against me. That's when I start to lose it. She opens her mouth, and I slide my tongue in slowly, then harder, firmer, more intense, like the downhill swoop of a roller coaster. I forgot how good she tastes. More decadent than the richest chocolate. Sinful. It's different from the other times we've kissed. Better. There's no anger behind it. No frustration or guilt or a point to prove. It's unhurried, languid, and fucking sublime. Our lips separate, and I force myself to look up, catching Warren's devastated glare before he disappears into the crowd. I turn back to Kate and touch my forehead to hers. Our breaths mingle, mine panting, hers gasping slightly. It worked, I tell her.
What?
I feel her fingers playing with the hair at the nape of my neck, and when she speaks, her voice is breathy, needy.
Drew, do you want...
Anything, Kate. Ask me anything, and I'll do it. Her lips part, and she stares at me a moment.
Would you kiss me again?
Thank you, God. And as for you, Jiminy, piss off. Chapter 13. The ride to my apartment is an exercise in stunt driving, trying desperately to keep my mouth on Kate and not get us killed. She sits on my lap, straddling my waist, kissing my neck, tonguing my ear, driving me out of my frigging mind. I've got one hand on the steering wheel and the other wedged between us, gliding over her stomach, her neck, and those perfect breasts that tease me through her half-open shirt. Do not try this at home, kids. Her skirt bunches high on her thighs as she grinds herself on my straining cock. She's so damn hot against me, I have to use every ounce of will not to let my eyes roll back into my head. I kiss her hard and watch the road over her shoulder. She slides up and down, jerking me off slowly with the pressure. Fucking Christ. Dry humping never felt so good. Control? Restraint? They went bye-bye a long time ago. Finally, I pull into the parking garage of my building. I grab the first spot I see and drag us out of the car. My hands on her ass, her legs locked around my waist, I carry Kate to the elevator, our lips and tongues dancing furiously. I didn't lock my car. I don't think I even closed the door. Fuck it. They can steal it. I have more important matters at hand. I stumble into the elevator and push the button for the top floor before slamming Kate back against the wall and thrusting against her like I've been dying to do. She moans long and deep into my mouth. It's like that scene out of Fatal Attraction, without the creepiness. Making it to my door, I grope for the lock with one hand still holding Kate against me. She nibbles on my ear and whispers, "Hurry, Drew." I would have kicked the fucking thing open at this point if the key wasn't already turning. We fall into my apartment, and I kick the door shut with my foot. I peel her legs off me, and her feet slide to the floor, creating a delicious friction along the way. I need my hands free. With our mouths still joined, I start unbuttoning the rest of her blouse. Kate is not so skilled, or she's just impatient. She digs her fingers into the front of my shirt and pulls. Buttons scatter on the floor. She just ripped my shirt open. How hot is that? I get to the clasp on her bra and pop it open. I'm an expert at those things. Whoever invented the front clasp bra, God bless you. Kate pulls her lips away and smooths her palms over my chest and down my abs. Her eyes are filled with wonder as they follow her hand's path. I watch as my own fingers skim across her collarbone, down between flawless breasts, and over that valley I love before coming to rest at her waist.
God, Drew, you're so...
beautiful, I finish for her. I pull her up against me again, wrapping my arms around her and lifting her feet off the floor as I back up toward the couch. Did I think dancing with her was heaven? No. Her bare chest against mine, that is what heaven feels like. Fucking paradise. I kiss down her jaw and suck at the tender flesh of her neck. I love Kate's neck. And judging from the sounds vibrating in her throat, she loves what I'm doing. I sit back on the couch, taking her with me with her torso resting against mine, her closed legs between my spread knees. She pulls my lips back to hers for one more kiss before standing up and backing away. We're both out of breath and staring, practically attacking each other with our eyes. She bites her lip, and her hands disappear behind her back. I hear the hiss of a zipper, and then her skirt is slowly sliding to the floor. It's the sexiest goddamn thing I have ever seen. Kate stands in front of me in black lace boy short panties, an open white blouse, and high heels. Her lips are swollen, her cheeks are flushed, and her hair is tousled from my hands. She's a goddess, fucking divine. And the way she's looking at me almost has me coming right here and now. I reach for my wallet and pull the condom out, resting it on the cushion next to me. Kate walks out of her skirt and toward me, leaving her high heels on. Christ Jesus. She kneels between my legs and unbuttons my pants, keeping her blazing eyes locked on mine. I lift up, and she peels my pants and boxers off. My cock springs up, proud and hard, and so fucking ready. Her eyes go down, and she looks me over. I let her get her fill. I'm not really the shy type. But when a devilish smile comes to her lips, and she leans toward my dick, I grab her and pull her back to my mouth. I don't know what she was planning. Well, I have an idea. But if I don't get inside her soon, I think I'm actually going to die. I lift her at the waist, and her knees rest on either side of me. I hold her up with one hand while the other pushes the lace between her legs to the side. I dip two fingers inside her. Jesus, she's ready too. I slide my fingers all the way in, and we both moan loudly. She's wet and hot. She molds snugly around my fingers, and my eyes close, knowing just how incredible she'll feel around my cock. I pump my fingers in and out, and she starts riding my hand. She's whimpering, moaning, gasping my name. Music to my frigging ears. I can't take it anymore. I grab the condom and rip the packet open with my teeth. Kate rises up as I start to roll it on. Then she pushes my hands away, and she rolls it on for me. Sweet fucking Christ almighty. I pull at her lace panties. I want her bare, nothing in the way. With a rip and a snap, I tear them off. Her dark curls and shiny lips beckon me, and I swear to God I'll give them all the attention they deserve later. But I can't wait. My eyes are on hers. Those dark chocolate eyes that pulled me in the moment I first saw them. Gorgeous. Slowly, she sinks down on me. For a moment, neither of us moves or breathes. She's tight. Fuck. Even through the rubber, I feel her walls stretching for me. I whisper her name like a prayer. Kate. I take her face in my hands and bring her down to me. I can't not kiss her. She rises up, pulling me almost completely out before smoothly sliding down, taking me back inside. Holy God. Nothing has ever felt this good. Nothing. My hands grasp her hips, helping her ride my cock with steady strokes. Our mouths are open against each other, kissing and panting. I pull myself up to sit straighter, knowing the added pressure against her clit will make it better for her. And I'm not wrong. She comes down on me harder, faster, my hands digging into her hips. I kiss her neck and bend my head, licking my way to a hardened nipple. I take it in my mouth, sucking and rolling my tongue around, making her hand fist in my hair as she moans. I'm not going to last. There's no way. I've waited for this too long, wanted it too much. I brace my feet on the floor and start thrusting up, stabbing into her, pushing her hips down hard as I do. It's bliss. Hard, deep, wet rapture. And I never want it to end. She throws her head back and moans louder. Yes, yes, true. I'm cursing and calling her name, both of us almost mindless, out of control, because it feels that fucking good. She screams my name, and I know she's coming. God, I love her voice. And then she's contracting all around me, her pussy around my cock, her legs against my thighs, her hands on my shoulders, all clenching taut and stiff. And I'm right there with her. Kate. Kate. Fuck, Kate. I thrust up again and again. Then I come long and hard. White-hot pleasure shoots through my body, unlike anything I have ever felt before. My head falls against the back of the couch. After the spasms die down, my arms come up around Kate, bringing our chests together and her head against my neck. I feel her heartbeat start to return to normal. And then she's laughing, low and satisfied. God, that was so, so... Now I'm smiling too. I know. Earth-shattering. Off the Richter scale. Powerful enough to take out a small island country. I stroke my hand through her hair. So frigging soft. I lean down and kiss her again. So goddamn perfect. What a great night. I think this could very well be the best night of my life. And it's only just started. Kate squeals as I stand up and carry her, wrapped around me, to my bedroom. I've never brought a woman to my bedroom before. It's a rule. No random hookups in my apartment. Never even considered it. If one of those girls actually knew where I lived, can you say stalker, psycho, anyone? But I don't think twice about setting Kate down in the middle of my bed. She watches me, on her knees, as I strip off my buttonless shirt and get rid of the used condom. Biting her lip with a smile, she peels off her own blouse, which was still hanging on her arms. Oh yeah, and she still got her heels on. Nice. So very, very nice. I crawl over to her and rest on my knees in the center of the bed. I cradle her face in my hands as I kiss her long and hot. I'm all set to go again. My dick pokes her in the stomach where it stands firm and ready. But this round, I want to take my time. I've admired her body for months, and now I plan to explore every fucking inch of it up close and personal. I lean forward and lay her back. Kate's hair fans out behind her onto my pillows. She looks like some mythical imp, some fabled pagan sex deity from a Roman legend. Or a well-acted porno. Her knees fall open naturally, and I settle between them. Christ, she's already damp. I can feel how wet she is against my stomach when she pushes up and rubs against me, silently begging for it. Again. I kiss my way down her neck and collarbone, coming face to face with her pebbled nipples. Kate's hands knead my shoulder blades as I lick a circle around one dusky pink center. Her breathing's fast and urgent. I flick my tongue over her nipple quickly until she groans my name. The minute the word leaves her lips, I close my mouth over her and suckle hard. For a few minutes, I alternate licking, sucking, and scraping her pointy little peak. Her reaction is so frigging primal, I can't help but switch to the other tit and give that beauty the same attention. By the time I work my way lower, Kate is writhing under me, bucking and rubbing herself on any part of my body she can reach. It's shameless. Beautiful. And as badly as I want her right now, as goddamn good as it feels to have her grinding against me, I'm in complete control of what I'm doing. I'm in charge. And there's one thing I can't wait to do. Something I've fucking dreamed of doing ever since that night at Howie's. I lick a trail down the center of her stomach, then crawl lower. I slip her shoes off and lick another path up her inner thigh till I'm eye level with my target. Her neat patch of dark curls. Kate is shaved short, trim, and the skin surrounding her snatch is as smooth as silk. I know because I'm nibbling my way around that manicured little triangle right now. Guys love a pussy that's almost completely bare. And no, it has nothing to do with perverted prepubescent fantasies.
The idea that a woman is nearly bald there is just naughty. Such a turn-on. I rub my nose into her tiny, coarse patch and inhale. Kate gasps and moans above me, eyes closed, mouth open. Just so you know, men don't expect a woman to smell like winter pine or Niagara Falls or whatever the fuck those feminine products say. It's a pussy. It's supposed to smell like one. That's the fucking turn-on. Kate's scent in particular has me salivating like a famished frigging animal. I rub again, kissing her plump outer lips. Mother of God. Her hands clench the blanket. God, you smell so good. I want to eat you all night. And I just actually might. I lick up her wet slit, and she arches off the bed with a moan. I push her hips down with my hands, holding her immobile as I do it again, and she cries out louder. That's it, Kate. Let me hear you. I'm well aware that this, that I, am the first man to ever do this to her. And yes, as a guy, that fact makes it even better. You know who Neil Armstrong is, don't you? Now tell me who the second guy was. Hell, tell me any other guy you know who made it to the moon after him. You can't, can you? That's why this is such a rush. She'll never forget this. She'll always remember me. Maybe that's chauvinistic and egotistical, but it's the truth. Up and down, over and over, I lick her from end to end. Her cream is sweet and thick. Goddamn delicious. I push her thighs apart, spreading her wider, and push in and out of her, fucking her with my tongue. Her head rolls side to side as high-pitched moans echo from her throat. She's incoherent, and her toes dig into my shoulders, but I don't let up. No freaking way. In one motion, I suck Kate's firm little clit into my mouth and slip two fingers inside her. Then I'm the one moaning. Her hot juice coats my fingers, almost burning. I can't stop my hips from rotating and rubbing against the bed. Fuck. Still pumping in and out with my hand, I flatten my tongue and rub steady, hard circles on her clit. True. True. Hearing Kate scream charges me up even more. I move my fingers faster, in time with my tongue, and look up, needing to see her lose it. I'm going to come just watching her. The look on her face is of full-blown ecstasy, and I don't know which one of us is getting off more.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. God.
Then she's rigid, stiff as a fucking board. Her hands pull my hair, her thighs tighten around my head, and I know she's there. After several moments, she loosens her hold, and I slow my tongue to leisurely paced licks. When Kate relaxes her limbs even more, I sit up, wipe my face with my hand, and slide on a fresh condom. Oh yeah, I'm just getting started. I lean over her, and she pulls me down and kisses me hard. She pants against my lips.
So incredible.
Smug, conceited satisfaction pumps through my veins, but I can't even smile. I need to fuck her too goddamn much. I slide in easily. She's slick but tight, like a wet fist. I feel her clench around me as I pull out slow and glide back in. I start to thrust faster, harsher. My arms are straight on either side of her head so I can watch the pleasure that flickers across her face. Her tits bounce every time I surge forward, and I almost lower down to suck on one. But then she opens her eyes and looks up at me, and I can't look away. I feel like a king, like a fucking immortal, and any self-control I had just vanished. I push into her fast and merciless. Pure, heated pleasure swells in my stomach and down my thighs. Sweet Jesus. Our bodies slap together over and over, hard and quick. I hook one arm under her knee and raise her leg up over my shoulder. She feels even tighter, and I can't help but moan, Kate!
Yes, like that. God, yes, Drew.
And then she goes stiff under me again,
her eyes closing as a strangled moan leaks from her lips. That's when I let go. I ram into her one last time before the most intense orgasm of my life rushes through me. I groan loud, flooding the condom inside her to the frigging brim. My arms collapse, and my full weight falls on her. She doesn't seem to mind. The moment I'm down, she's kissing me, my eyes, my cheeks, my mouth. I struggle to catch my breath, and then I'm kissing her back. Unfucking believable. Chapter 14. I read an article once that said having sex extends the human lifespan. At this rate, Kate and I are going to live forever. I've lost count of the number of times we've done it. It's like a mosquito bite. The more you scratch, the more it itches. I'm just glad I bought the extra large box of condoms at Costco. And in case you couldn't tell from my reactions, I'll just come out and say it. Kate Brooks is a fantastic lay. A spectacular piece of ass. If I wasn't sure that Billy Warren was a complete dumbass fuckwit before, now, since I've sampled what he threw away, I'm completely certain of it. She's adventurous, unapologetically demanding, spontaneous, and confident. A lot like me. We're a perfect fit, in more ways than one. When we finally come up for air, the night sky outside my window is just turning gray. Kate is lying quietly, her head on my chest, her fingers tracing its contours and occasionally stroking the dusting of hair there. I hope, after everything I've told you, that this doesn't come as a shock, but I don't cuddle. Typically, after a woman and I are done, there is no spooning, no snuggling, no frigging pillow talk. I might, on occasion, have a nap before I head out the door. But I can't stand it when a girl braids herself around me like some mutant octopus. It's annoying and uncomfortable. With Kate, however, the old rules just don't seem to apply. Our warm skin is meshed together. Our bodies aligned. Her ankle over my calf, my thigh under her bent knee. It feels peaceful. Soothing in a way I can't fully describe. I have absolutely no desire to move from this spot, unless it's to roll over and nail her again. She breaks the silence first. When did you lose your virginity? I laugh. Are we playing first and ten again, or are you wondering about my sexual history? Because if that's it, I think you're a little too late, Kate. She smiles. No, it's not like that. I just want to know you more. I sigh as I think back. Okay. My first time was Janice Lewis, my 15th birthday. She invited me to her house to give me my present. It was her. I feel her smile against my chest. Was she a virgin too? No. She was just shy of 18, a senior. Ah, the older woman. So she taught you everything you know? I smile and shrug. I picked up a few tricks over the years. We fall quiet again for a few minutes, and then she asks, Don't you want to know about mine? Don't even have time to think about that one. Nope. Don't want to spoil the mood, but we'll pause here a second. When it comes to a woman's past, no guy wants to hear about it. I don't care if you've fucked one guy or 100. Keep it to yourself. Let me put it this way. When you're out at a restaurant and the waiter brings your meal, do you want him to tell you about every single person who touched that food before you put it in your mouth? Exactly. I also think it's pretty safe to assume that her first time was with Warren, that he was her one and only, and he is the last fucking person I want to be discussing at this particular place and time. Now, back to my bedroom. I turn on my side so I'm facing Kate. Our faces are close, our heads sharing one pillow. Her hands tucked under her cheek in an innocent kind of way. There is something I want to know, though, I say. Ask away. Why'd you go into iBanking? I come from a long line of white-collar professionals. Alexandra and I weren't expected to follow in our parents' footsteps. It just sort of happened that way. People always gravitate toward what they know, what's familiar. Like professional athletes. Have you ever noticed how many juniors there are in Major League Baseball? It's to distinguish them from their Hall of Fame fathers. The Manning quarterbacks, same deal. But I wonder what attracted Kate to investment banking, considering her adolescent years of petty crime. The money. I wanted a career where I knew I'd make a lot of money. I raise my eyebrows. Really? She looks at me knowingly. You were expecting something more noble? Yeah, I guess I was. Her smile dims. The truth is, my parents got married young, had me young. They bought the diner in Greenville, mortgaged it to the gills. We lived above it. It was small, but nice. Her smile fades a little more. My father was killed when I was 13. Car accident. Drunk driver. After that, my mom was always busy, trying to keep the diner going, trying to keep herself from falling apart. When she pauses again, I put my arm across her and pull her in until her forehead rests against my chest. And then she goes on. She barely kept us above water. I wasn't deprived or anything, but it wasn't easy. Everything was a struggle. So, when they told me I was going to be valedictorian, and I received a full scholarship to Wharton, I figured, okay, investing it is. I never wanted to be helpless or dependent. Even though I had Billy, it was important to me to know I'd be able to support myself, by myself. Now that I can, all I really want to do is take care of my mom. I've been asking her to move to New York, but so far she said no. She's worked her entire life. I just want her to rest. I don't know what to say. For all my snide comments about my family, I'm pretty sure I'd lose my frigging mind if something happened to any one of them. I raise her chin so I can look into her eyes. Then I kiss her. After a few minutes, Kate turns around. I wrap my arms around her waist and pull her right up against me. I press my lips to her shoulder and settle my face in her hair. And even though it's technically morning, that's just how we stay until we both fall asleep. Every healthy man in the world wakes up with a stiffy, a fatty, morning wood. I'm sure there's some medical explanation for the phenomenon, but I just like to think of it as a little present from God. A chance to begin the day with your best dick forward. I can't remember the last time I slept next to a woman. Waking up beside one, however, definitely has its benefits. And I'm prepared to take full advantage of them. With my eyes still closed, I roll over and search for Kate. I plan on teasing her awake before giving her a good morning from behind. It's the only acceptable wake-up call in my book. But as my hand slides over the sheets, it finds only empty space where she's supposed to be. I open my eyes, sit up, and look around. There's no sign of her. Huh. I listen for movement in the bathroom or the sound of running water from the shower, but there's only silence. Deafening, isn't it? Where'd she go? My heart rate kicks up a notch at the thought that she snuck out while I was asleep. It's a move I've performed myself on several occasions, but one I'd never expect from Kate. I'm just about to get out of bed when she appears in the doorway. Her hair's pulled up in one of those elastic bands that women always seem to pull out of thin air. She's wearing a gray Columbia t-shirt. My gray Columbia t-shirt. And I'm momentarily fascinated by the way her tits jiggle beneath the lettering as she walks. Kate sets the tray she's carrying on the bedside table. Good morning. I pout. It could have been. Why'd you get up? She laughs. I'm starving. My stomach was growling like a caged troll. I was going to cook breakfast for us, but the only thing I could find in your kitchen was cereal. Cereal is the perfect food. I could eat it at every meal. And not the healthy bran and oats shit your parents shoved down your throat. I only go for the good stuff. Lucky Charms, Fruity Pebbles, Cookie Crisp. My cabinet is a veritable smorgasbord of highly sugared puffed wheat. I shrug. I order out a lot. She hands me a bowl. Apple Jacks.
Good choice. Between bites, Kate says, I borrowed a t-shirt. Hope you don't mind. I crunch my breakfast of champions and shake my head. Not at all. But I really like you better out of it. See how she looks down? How her lips curve into a soft